Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne. I'm so happy you all are here. And let's join together for a few moments in silence as we turn our awareness from without to within. Dropping into this moment, and if we notice that the mind is really busy and full of chatter, just simply noticing that and choosing to just gently redirect our attention back to this moment, to our awareness of this quiet, still voice within. And taking a nice, mindful breath in and out. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives, and so we place the Holy Spirit in charge by our request. With the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Okay, so happy independence from the ego, those of us who are in the States celebrating the 4th of July. I love that alternative meaning to the holiday. Let me give some page references. So in the Sparkle edition, we're on page 340. It is chapter 14. It's the first full paragraph. The miracle offers exactly the same response to every call for help. And I think Deidre just joined us. Deidre, I want to give a special shout out to you. Thank you so much for covering the call last week. That was awesome.
You're welcome. No problem.
Thank you. Okay, so again, Sparkle Edition, page 340. Original Edition by Course in Miracles Society. We are on chapter 14, part 6, and it is paragraph number 51. And last but not least, the Foundation for Inner Peace Edition. We are in chapter 14, part 10, paragraph 6, sentence number 3. So we're starting mid-paragraph in the FIP edition. Beautiful. So I will just do like we usually do, just read a paragraph, sometimes maybe two, and we'll just pause and talk. And if anybody has insights, examples, questions, we'll just tackle them as we go. So this, I'll just pause and say this, I was catching up with what you all read last week, and this is a beautiful, beautiful section on miracles, and I love just how it, I won't try to sum up the whole thing, but just how miracles are evidence that there is something beyond this world of form that we see. They come through us, but they are not of us. They are of God. So I love that. So here we go. The miracle offers exactly the same response to every call for help. It does not judge the call. It merely recognizes what it is and answers accordingly. It does not consider which call is louder or greater or more important. You may wonder how you, who are still bound to judgment, can be asked to do that which requires no judgment of your own. The answer is very simple. The power of God and not of you engenders miracles. The miracle itself is but the witness that you have the power of God in you. That is the reason why the miracle gives equal blessing to all who share in it, and that is also why everyone shares in it. The power of God is limitless, and being always maximal, it offers everything to every call from anyone. There is no order of difficulty here. A call for help is given help. And we'll pause there for a few minutes. So this is sort of when I was summarizing what you read, maybe I was actually, what you read last week touches on this, but here it is, just what I said, being so crystal clear that the power of God and not of you engenders miracles. So that's why we can't, it's not our job to fix our thoughts if we notice that judgmental thought come up. It's not our job to say, oh, you know, that wasn't good that I just thought that. Let me quick replace it with something else. Our job is to give our thoughts to Spirit and ask for the miracle instead. Ask Spirit to do its job, being the one who knows what judgment really is. And I can define that in a moment if need be. But we're not asked to do Spirit's job, the Holy Spirit's job for the Holy Spirit. We're asked to simply let the Holy Spirit do its job, which is to be that translator in which we give our judgments, our opinions, our thoughts to Spirit and get the miracle back instead. And judgment, I'll just mention, isn't the type of judgment from the standpoint of God being the judger or the Holy Spirit doing judging. I feel like the world has put so much, you know, fear into that and negativity. All that means is that all Spirit sees is the love, and that's what gets preserved. That's the Holy Spirit's judgment. So it's actually quite a beautiful, gentle thing. So I'm wondering if anybody had anything come up for you in this paragraph, anything that stands out to you, any particular sentence? I also really like how it says that it doesn't, the miracle offers exactly the same response to every call for help. So it's not going to go to one, you know, a call that's louder or greater or more important. They're all the same. Everything is either in this world love or a call for love. And so the miracle is going to answer every call for love as we allow it to occur.
I like how it's suggesting in the paragraph that the power of the miracle is already inside you.
Mm.
I really like that a lot.
I like that too. It's such a good, it's a good reminder that it is already here and we don't have to try to, you know, it's not coming in the future. We don't have to prepare ourselves for something later. We actually have all this. We are completely healed right now. We're just choosing to kind of forget that. I like that too.
And I was also really struck by the sentence that says the power of God is limitless.
Mm.
I really like that too.
I like that too. It's so comforting, right?
Yes.
So comforting. And it's the type of thing we can't really conceive where it says, the sentence right after that, the power of God is limitless and being always maximal, it offers everything to every call from anyone. We can't comprehend. There's nothing equivalent to that in this world that we can, you know, understand. When things get offered here, something gets depleted, you know, like there's you know what I'm trying to say. It's not always maximal and endless. So we can't fully understand what that means.
Go ahead.
I was wondering if you mean like in this world there's like a give and take. Is that kind
of what you mean? Absolutely. Absolutely. A give and take, and also abundance and lack. So it's like, you know, that sort of duality, that it's not just, it's not all. If there's abundance, there's also lack somewhere. So yes, absolutely. And give and take, yep.
Well, isn't it also true that if we didn't know lack, then we wouldn't know abundance? It's kind of like
I'm sorry, could you repeat that again? I just want to make sure I heard you.
That if we don't have lack, then we also don't understand abundance.
That's where on this level of form, the Holy Spirit will use contrast to help us learn. So in truth, that wouldn't be true, but on this level, you know, we see that split. We see those two things. And that's the that contrast that the Holy Spirit uses to help teach us.
Beautiful. Yeah, I just try to remember that on down days.
you remember what?
I just try to remember that on down days. Like, you know, if there's a dip, and I work with people and their money all the time, so, like, they come to me and they're like freaking out about money usually because they want to make more. And so money is one of those things that in this world you either have it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of hard to remember that, you know, there's always more to be had. So I find myself, like, having to explain to clients, like, if you didn't know what it was like not to have money, then you wouldn't know what it's like to have money.
Right.
I think something that really is really interesting that applies to this is Lisa Natoli has these audio commentaries that go along with the daily lessons in the workbook. And for today's lesson, she was talking about, like, if you have your, if you catch yourself thinking a thought of lack or something that's not of God, remember that those are not your thoughts. And so, like, anything that comes up and you think, I can't possibly do that, that's impossible. She was like, remember why you're here and who is asking you to, who is responsible for the doing, God. So what we think is impossible is actually not impossible. It's only our belief in what that thing is or situation is.
I love it.
It was really helpful for me
to hear
that.
That is.
What was the name?
Her name is Lisa Natoli, and she's with the Teachers of God Foundation, which is a nonprofit that...
Lisa
Natoli.
Natoli, okay.
Yeah.
It's Natoli. She's awesome. Thank you for that, Didi. That was really helpful.
Welcome.
Let's take the next paragraph. The only judgment involved at all is the Holy Spirit's one division into two categories, one of love and the other the call for love. You cannot safely make this decision, for you are much too confused either to recognize love or to believe that everything else is nothing but a need for love. You are too bound to form and not to content. When you consider what you consider content is not content at all. It is merely form and nothing else. For you do not respond to what a brother really offers you, but only to the particular perception of his offering by which the ego judges it. So again, this is reflecting how the Holy Spirit sees either love or call for love, and we can't understand the difference between those because we're too confused to recognize love or that everything is a call for love. I'm hearing my echo. If anybody's on speakerphone, if you wouldn't mind just muting your line by pressing *6, that would be awesome. Thank you. Let's actually read the next paragraph, too, because this is all sort of flowing together. The ego is incapable of understanding content and is totally unconcerned with it. To the ego, if the form is acceptable, the content must be. Otherwise, it will attack the form. You who believe you understand something of the dynamics of the mind, let me assure you that you know nothing of it at all. For of yourselves, you could not know of it. The study of the ego is not the study of the mind. In fact, the ego enjoys the study of itself and thoroughly approves the undertaking of students who would analyze it, approving its importance. Yet they but study form with meaningless content. For their teacher is senseless, though careful to conceal this fact behind a lot of words which sound impressive, but which lack any consistent sense when they are put together. That's pretty funny. So, again, just a reminder, Helen and Bill were both psychologists, so this is clearly speaking to coming from that background, which is kind of funny. So, again, this difference between form and content. Form is all we see with our body's eyes. It's the content is either the love or the call for love, and we don't know how to see that of ourselves. So our little tiny part, our little tiny job is to turn to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit decide for us. So anything, has anything come up for anybody in these two paragraphs?
I was just thinking every time I see form versus content, I think of Danielle Laporte's desire map, which is this whole theory that she says instead of basically like we're not actually chasing goals, right? We're like chasing the feeling that the goal gets us. So it doesn't matter. You can apply it to anything. And I was reading the book and I have the day planner that she has. And then the day planner, she has you write down like how you want to feel every day and then kind of planning your day according to that instead of like external stuff, and then everything just kind of falls into place.
I love it.
Because like, for example, you don't want the money for the sake of wanting money. You don't want the relationship for the sake of having a relationship, but the world kind of teaches us to put all the emphasis on external stuff, which would be like form, I guess, when in reality that's not really what we're after.
Interesting, very interesting. I guess the one thing that comes up for me, because I haven't read the book, so that sounds really interesting, would be with the course possibly taking it from the vantage point of, you know, so what are the feelings then that we are desiring? And they could be ego feelings, or they could, you know, be those deep, deep feelings of peace that, you know, we experience when we have those miracles and have those shifts. So that's beautiful, though. I really like that. You're totally right with like form versus content. I really like how she's doing that, getting you to look at the feelings rather than the form.
Yeah.
The course kind of does do that, though. It does, at the end of the text, it talks about choosing the kind of day you want.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's similar.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It sure does. I'm trying to think of the quote, it's not, I'd have to search for it really quick, but that is a fabulous, that might be actually, that was Amanda that just shared, right?
Yeah, well, I know Danielle LaPorte is a Course student, too.
interesting.
Oh, I love her.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's interviewed by Dobby a lot, so, like, they work together and stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
she
knows her Course, too. Right? She doesn't,
cool,
like, talk about
cool.
it a lot, but she's mentioned it in interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's basically just a system that she created, and like she has you look at how you basically like stream of consciousness, and you have to narrow down. She calls them your core desired feelings, and there's like a whole process to get to them, to make sure it's like feelings and not ego feelings.
Awesome.
And then making
awesome.
Your decisions based on that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sorry.
No, go on.
I was gonna say one little thing that reminds me, like her work reminds me a lot of the rules for decision making.
That's the section.
Yeah, yeah.
Rule for decision.
Yeah.
Cool. Amanda, you should definitely check that out if you want to see the, like, you know, the coursey language version of that. Rules for decision. Thank you, Dee. Do you want to add? I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm really glad that you said what the section was.
Rules or decision?
Rules for decision.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
It's in chapter 30 of the FIP edition. I'm sorry, who is that?
No, this is Elishava. Hey, everybody.
Hi, Elishava.
Hello. I wanted to say something that someone just brought up about the course talking about choosing the kind of day that you want. And I wanted to share something. Actually, today I had an interesting day. And one thing that I've been practicing is just being honest with myself with where I'm at. And so one thing that I don't know if anyone knows Jill Swanch, like spiritual catalyst, and you know she talks about a lot of you know principles as it pertains to what we speak about. And so today, like I got up, I was feeling great. I got my hair done yesterday, and I was like, you know what, I'm feeling great. I'm gonna dress up. I'm gonna look cute, right? And, you know, generally I would kind of feel guilty, like, oh, gosh, you know, I have to be, like, extra humble. I'm a course student now, like, what kind of spiritually advanced person wants to be seen? And I thought, you know what, whatever. The truth is I want to be seen today because I'm feeling good, you know. So, like, I just say, you know what, I want to be seen. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling confident, sexy, whatever. I'm like, I'm feeling myself. So I go to church, which for real reasons too, but, you know. So then that ended up going great. And then I was like, gosh, I'm really not ready to go home, and I just didn't want to. So, you know, the last couple of days I had been feeling just kind of just icky, like not really loving myself, you know, and I thought, whatever, I need some attention. But I said, so I went to just went to the bookstore just to kind of hang out. And I end up encountering just three men who were just so kind and so just sweet towards me, and including a woman. And anyway, long story short, and in the various different encounters that I had, it ended up satisfying that just wanting to be seen, not only from a physical place, but I think sometimes you just want someone to see you for who you are. You want to be, I think women, we want to be captivating to men, to people, you know. And so anyway, I just had this totally beautiful experience, and I ended up connecting with the woman really, really good, you know, and some other good things ended up happening as a result. So I say all that to say, I feel like the fact that I went into the day saying I want to have this kind of day and just being honest with myself, I feel like it allowed me to have a very healthy experience of being seen, as opposed to trying to reject it or trying to manufacture some kind of unhealthy way of, like, getting attention. But just being honest with myself and with the Holy Spirit to say, hey, you know what, this is where I am. I kind of need some attention, and I got what I needed, and it just ended up being really great. And it was just a good lesson for me to just continue to be honest with wherever I'm at, because when we're honest with where we are, I feel like the Holy Spirit blesses the situation.
Oh, I love that example. I absolutely love it. That's it's beautiful. It's such a great example of just fully allowing yourself to be where you're at and bringing your desire to spirit and having, you know, that beautiful experience as a result. Nice.
Yeah. Thank you. I just wanted to share that when you said that, I just thought, and when you talked about this, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. Good. Oh, perfect example. Perfect example for what we've been talking about. Nice for that. Rules of decision section. Beautiful. Okay, so let's take another paragraph. This is characteristic of the ego's judgments. Actually, let me just read, since we're starting off with the word this, I'm just going to read the sentence before. For their teacher is senseless, though careful to conceal this fact behind a lot of words which sound impressive, but which lack any consistent sense when they are put together. This is characteristic of the ego's judgments. Separately, actually, I'm just going to pause. I'm so sorry. If anybody has background noise, if you wouldn't mind, I know it looks like a few people just joined us. If you wouldn't mind muting your line by pressing star 6, I'm hearing some background noise. That would be super helpful to keep the line clear. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. This is characteristic of the ego's judgments. Separately, they seem to hold, but put them together, and the system of thought which arises from joining them is incoherent and utterly chaotic. For form is not enough for meaning, and the underlying lack of content makes a cohesive system impossible. Separation, therefore, remains the ego's chosen condition, for no one alone can judge the ego truly. Yet when two or more join together in searching for truth, the ego can no longer defend its lack of content. The fact of union tells them this is not true. I feel moved to read the next sentence, too. It is impossible to remember God in secret and alone, for remembering him means you are not alone and willing to remember it. Take no thought for yourself, for no thought you hold is for yourself. If you would remember your Father, let the Holy Spirit order your thoughts and give only the answer with which he answers you. Everyone seeks for love as you do, and knows it not unless he joins with you in seeking it. If you undertake the search together, you bring with you a light so powerful that what you see is given meaning. The lonely journey fails because it has excluded what it would find. So these two paragraphs make me think of us coming together on Sunday nights, because where it says, when two or more join together in searching for truth, the ego can no longer defend its lack of content. I know I've shared, many folks I've heard, you know, share on the call that, like, we're just so happy to be here, that Sunday night is just so helpful with strengthening these ideas for one another in our own minds. I feel like that's an example of what this is talking about, that two or more are joining together in searching for truth, and so the whatever you want to call it, of the ego. The crap of the ego can no longer, it no longer holds any weight, any desire, or any appeal when we're looking at this together. And I like, too, how it says, it's impossible to remember God in secret and alone. So the healing that we do, as we allow our own minds to be healed, we're doing this for others. We're not just doing this for ourselves. Ooh, and another sentence, and then I promise I'll stop talking. Please, if anybody has anything to share, jump in. The last thing that I'll say about this, I have this sentence underlined. If you would remember your Father, let the Holy Spirit order your thoughts and give only the answer with which he answers you. I love that idea of letting the Holy Spirit order your thoughts. In my own experience, I remember coming to a point of, and it was one of the, you know, darker times of dealing with anxiety, of recognizing just that I don't know how to think. I don't know how to use my mind, and I'm driving it into the mud. And so I remember placing my thoughts under Christ guidance. That's a term from the Course. And placing my body, which I would worry about a lot, under Christ control, because I could, the Course says, you know, give it to me so I can teach you the body's unimportance. And I can remember that moment of just giving my mind, being willing to have my mind be put under that guidance. And so that comes forth for me when we were reading this sentence, just about letting the Holy Spirit order your thoughts. We don't know what thoughts have ego in them. When we think that they're pure, they very well could have ego in them. And it's best, in my own experience, just to take the approach of just giving it all to Spirit and just trusting that if there is any ego there, it'll fall away because I've given it to Spirit. And I don't have to analyze it. I don't have to figure it out myself. So did anything come up for anybody so far with either what we've been talking about or in these paragraphs?
Corinne, I wanted to see. But, oh, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say what everything Corinne said was what spoke to me in the paragraphs, too, so I didn't have anything new to add yet. Go ahead.
Thanks, Paul. Was that Alicia Beth?
I'm sorry. I'll be really quick. I was just introduced to or an idea that really I think I read in the Course, but it wasn't until I heard someone else say it that really resonated with me. And this, again, is Jill Swan, and she talked about how the ego can come through the back door, and it just makes me think about earlier how you said it's not concerned with content. And essentially how she was saying is, you know, how we can get egotistical about being even on the path of spiritual enlightenment.
Yeah.
And how it's so subtle when we don't see it, and the whole time the ego is just like right there living, thriving, even as we're on this path. Like, I just thought, wow.
That's such an important point, Alicia. I feel like you're bringing up the spiritual ego, which will use the Course to be like, hey, look at me, I'm spiritual. Like,
yeah.
I'm doing this really cool book, and like, I'm so awesome. And I'm only saying this and laughing because I am being honest. I've noticed that in myself.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to be able to, that the spiritual ego is one of, I think, the stickiest, trickiest things to look at. And that's just where, you know, again, I don't bother anymore trying to figure out whether there is or isn't ego there. I give it all the spirit constantly. I go through my laundry list, and I'm just not hanging on to anything for myself and trusting that whatever ego is there is going to fall away. So the spiritual ego, it'll get in there. It will get in there and use anything that it can on its behalf. And I've seen it so many times, even with people in my life who do A Course in Miracles, who almost will quote the book to correct another person. Well, it says this, so you're wrong because, you know, and it goes back to that Course quote that if you're alert to the errors of your brother's ego, you must be seeing through yours. Right? It puts responsibility right back on you. So that, again, is where, you know, it's not our responsibility to correct our brother. It's our responsibility that if we're seeing something happening in front of us, that maybe we have that urge come up that we want to correct, rather than just, you know, we might have to just be where we're at and go down that path and explore it. But after we've done that a few times and we realize that, like, it might not be getting us anything, we can pause and say, all right, Spirit, I'm gonna turn to you instead first and see what comes up, because the ego always speaks first and loudest. So oftentimes it can be really helpful to have that pause before we get clear on what we need to do.
I'm laughing because in my family we like to debate this kind of stuff a lot. I think we get a kick out of it almost. And I was thinking about that because, you know, I would get really into it with family members over philosophical debates and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, because I would remember something from the Course, right, about how if you feel the need to, like, correct them and they're in their insanity and all that kind of stuff, how you must be looking through your own ego. So I'm laughing because this last week I was in it again with one of my family members over philosophy and stuff. And then in my head, I just heard this voice saying, your lesson is to learn to shut up. Yeah, so I'm laughing because I'm like, wow. Because sometimes we got to learn to shut up.
Yep. I love that. That's beautiful. And sometimes, you know, the ego will be screaming in our head, like, do something, like, don't shut up, you know, like, tell that person that they're not understanding you or they're not hearing you. Like, it'll be this, like, overwhelming urge to want to not shut up. And yet, if we can, you know, have that patience for even just a moment and, you know, see if we can just sort of ride that wave of that urgency to just sort of get curious and explore, like, well, is there something else there too? I've seen that. I've had big miracles happen, particularly with a family member who I've gone through challenging periods with throughout life. And this one time, I think I wrote a blog post about this a while ago, just my ego was like, defend yourself. They're attacking you. You know, you didn't do the things that they're saying. And it was a big shift with being able to, you know, not go down the attack defense cycle with this person. So, which is what my ego was screaming at me to take action with. So, my goodness. Oh, gotta love this funny thing called an ego. We gotta see it with humor, right? We can't take it too seriously because we gotta remember that this is all just something that we can laugh at. Anybody else have anything so far? All right, let's keep reading then. I think we're at As God Communicates. I think that's where I left off. As God communicates to the Holy Spirit in you, so does the Holy Spirit translate his communications through you so you can understand them. God has no secret communications, for everything of him is perfectly open and freely accessible to all, being for all. Nothing lives in secret, and what you would hide from the Holy Spirit is nothing. every interpretation you would lay upon a brother is senseless. Let the Holy Spirit show him to you and teach you both his love and need for love. Neither his mind nor yours holds more than these two orders of thought. So let the Holy Spirit show him to us. Let the Holy Spirit show our brothers to us. Because this actually goes back to something that I was speaking about recently in my Mindfulness for Miracle Workers class about choosing love and how we actually don't know how to choose for love. Again, our task is simply to choose for Spirit who will choose for love for us. So we don't know how to truly see our brothers. We need the Holy Spirit to be that bridge so we can learn how to see our brothers through Spirit. And I'll also share, too, a quote that I have up on my bulletin board right here in front of my desk. There are no hidden chambers in God's temple. And that's what it says right here. God has no secret communications, for everything of him is perfectly open and freely accessible to all right now. It's not something that'll be accessible to us later. It's accessible to us right now. And it is restored to our awareness as we recognize that we actually want it. Anybody else so far have any questions or comments?
I just want to add that you guys sent some prayers and some good vibes my way. My son is moving with his son's father out of town, and his girlfriend is moving with them. And my ego is, like, in full force right now as I cope. So just send me some prayers of love.
Of course, of course. I will hold you in the light and choose to you got it. That's what we're here for. And that's how, you know, whenever I see requests or prayers on Facebook or anything, that's just what I'm willing to do, is to give the situation over to Spirit and be willing to just see only the truth that's there. So we're all holding that for you.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Let's read the next paragraph. The miracle is the recognition that this is true. Where there is love, your brother must give it to you because of what it is. But where there is need for love, you must give it because of what you are. Long ago, we said this course will teach you what you are, restoring to you your identity. We have already learned that this identity is shared. The miracle becomes the means of sharing it. By supplying your identity wherever it is not recognized, you will recognize it. And God himself, who wills to be with his son forever, will bless each recognition of his son with all the love he holds for him. Nor will the power of all his love be absent from any miracle you offer to his son. How, then, can there be any order of difficulty among them? Beautiful. I want to just highlight, it was the second sentence that we just read, where there is love, your brother must give it to you because of what it is. So where there is love, it has to be extended because of that. That's just the nature of love, is to extend. But where there is need for love, you must give it because of what you are. That, what I think of when I read that sentence, but where there is need for love, you must give it. If it goes back to that, if we're seeing it, it's coming from our mind. So it's our mind that needs healing. The sole responsibility of the miracle worker is to accept the undoing in our own mind. So if there's that need for love and we're seeing it, we have to give it by turning to Spirit within and allowing it to be extended through us. I hope that makes sense. Anybody have anything? Does anybody feel moved to share anything? we can keep reading. So in the Sparkle and Original editions, we're on to a new section called the Test of Truth. And actually, it looks like the FIP edition lines up with that too. So they're all called the Test of Truth. Yet the essential thing is learning that you do not know. Knowledge is power, and all power is of God. You who have tried to keep power for yourselves have lost it. You still have the power, but you have interposed so much between it and your awareness of it that you cannot use it. Everything you have taught yourselves has made your power more and more obscure to you. You know not what it is nor where. You have made a semblance of power and a show of strength so pitiful that it must fail you. For power is not a seeming strength, and truth is beyond semblance of any kind. Yet all that stands between you and the power of God in you is but your learning of the false and your attempts to undo the true. So I'll highlight immediately in here just one of the things that has helped me so much. It's the first sentence that we read, yet the essential thing is learning that you do not know. I don't know what anything is for. I don't know what anything is for. And the moment I try to start analyzing it or lay meaning on it, I am probably going to get into trouble. So, and it doesn't have to be trouble in any kind of big way. It might just be a lack of peace. So I really want to just highlight that sentence. Learning that we...
feel like I should get it tattooed.
Right?
You
on the inside of
know.
Our eyelids. I love that. That'd be a good way to help remember.
Yeah, I just wish I had a reminder all the time, because it's so, when you read it, then it's like, oh, yeah.
Right.
It makes so much sense.
Yep. And the sentence that my eyes just landed on in the middle of the paragraph, everything you have taught yourselves has made your power more and more obscure to you. So another way of saying that is that everything that we think we know has made our power more and more obscure to us, because we've laid our interpretations, our beliefs, everything in between us and our awareness that love is already there.
Go ahead, Gigi. Sorry, I was just going to say that in the beginning, there can be a lot of resistance to the idea of I don't know. But having been with the course for 4 years now, I feel like the opposite is actually true. There's so much power in not knowing, because Spirit knows better than Deidre thinks. She knows what is best for me. And I'm living that right now, like literally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what is happening. I don't know when things are happening. I don't know how things are happening, but it's happening. And I'll just give you a small example. At some point, I don't know when, and I don't know how, and I don't know any details, but at some point I will be moving, and I'll be moving out of Canada. And I have this friend who I took my first Angel Intuitive class with her, and she was my partner during the class that we got to practice different exercises with. And she lives in Los Angeles right now, but she's in like the southern part of California. And for the last like month or so, I kept having this like intuitive feeling that I should ask her, you know, like, would she be willing to share share an apartment or a room share or a house share or something like that. And it kept coming up intuitively, but I held off. And I wanted to talk to Spirit more about it before I said anything. So earlier this week, it came up again. And so I asked Spirit to, you know, basically confirm for me if what I was hearing was true. And I asked for three different symbols to show up. And those three symbols did show up. So I mentioned it because we often do swap intuitive readings for each other. And during the reading, she just kind of stopped and she said, you know, where are you going to be living when you go to school? And I told her where, and she said, oh, that's interesting, because I've always wanted to live in that area. And so then I checked with Spirit again, and Spirit gave me the go-ahead to say something to my friend. And so I did, and she said, I really have no plans for the future, but I'm totally open to sharing with someone like you, so kind of let's see where it goes, you know. So I might already have a roommate. And it just kind of fell in my lap because I'm listening to what Spirit is telling me. So I had zero inkling that was going to happen, but I'm constantly checking in and asking, you know, is this what I should be doing? Is this what you want me to do? Is this what will serve? Is this, you know, so I'm not in control of any of it, but as long as I'm willing to keep giving it over, like I have zero idea where the money for tuition is going to come from, but I'm just following my, you know, guidance and filling out forms and filling out more forms, but I have zero idea of where it's going to come, but I know that it's God, so I know that there's a way. So I have another story that I could tell, but I don't want to take too much time, but suffice it to say that there's rules when you're coming into the United States for immigration, and there were these rules that they wanted me to adhere to in terms of course load. And I said, well, knowing what I deal with in terms of form, you know, in Canada, we're 60% course load is considered full time when you have a designated physical disability. And the immigration laws there say you have to be doing 100% course load. And the lady on the phone with me was saying, I just want to make sure that you're really clear that there is no way around this. Like, immigration is like you have to be doing 100% course load, and you have to maintain a certain grade point average to stay in the country. And initially, my reaction was fear. And then I paid attention really closely to that reaction, and I felt it in my body. And I said to Spirit, okay, I'm feeling this. Like, I'm aware that it's here. I'm really afraid of what this lady is saying. And I sat there in the fear. Like, I didn't go away from it. I just sat there 100% scared. And in that feeling of being completely scared, I got this download from Spirit that was like, you don't have enough information. So I called the lady and I actually told her on the phone, I said, I'm an angel intuitive. I don't know if you know this, but this is what I do for, you know, my life purpose work. And I said, I really feel like we don't have enough information here. And I have to be honest, I said, I don't feel right about committing to a 100% course load because I don't feel like it serves the people I will be working with and collaborating with to try to force myself to stay to that set of rules. And she said, well, why don't you leave it with me for a few days? And she reminded me that Independence Day was coming up and there would be a break. And if I didn't hear from her, not to worry. But after that phone call, I had given it to Spirit and I just didn't think about it anymore. So 2 days ago, she got back to me and she said, I have good news. She said, I've contacted immigration and there is a way that you will be able to take the program at 60% course load. And I'm just like, of course there is. Of course there is. So I share that to say that what we think of as limits doesn't exist. Like there aren't any accidents. There's a reason why I was chosen for this program. Mm-hmm. And God knows what is ahead. I have no idea. So.
Oh, Deidre, don't ever apologize for sharing one of your stories with me, because I feel like they are just so profoundly crystal clear on this process of what it means to just say that you know nothing and just that you're letting spirit do everything and you're, you know, things are just falling into your lap. That's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so helpful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I really resonate with your story, Deidre, and of course the story is different on my part, but that same groundedness and just trusting that everything is going to be provided, that I'm going to be told exactly what I need to do. I can't tell you when the last time was that I tried to make something happen. It literally, things just fall into my lap. And so I really resonate with what you just shared.
Yeah, it was honestly like when I was having the conversation with the lady on the phone, it was like my mouth was open, but spirit's words were coming out. Mm. And that's whenever I sit down to have a angel reading or psychic reading with anybody, that's literally what happens. I'm not, you know, my personality. I'm literally like the instrument for love to come out. That's the best way that I can describe it. And so I just find like the more that I'm willing to, like if I feel afraid, if I don't run away from it, like you say in your miracle worker class, Corinne, if you're willing to just sit in the fear, the answers just come. And I don't know what it is about that, but it's like you're just saying, okay, I know this isn't real. This isn't the truth. Show me the truth. And the truth comes.
Mm-hmm. What comes up for me as to an explanation, you said, you know, I don't really know what's happening either, but what the sense that I get is that rather than running away from the obstacles that we've made, the fears that we've made, rather than running away from it, with spirit, we're looking at it with these blazing, shining miracles that are just sort of like fizzling it away. That's the best, way that I can describe this idea of, you know, looking at the fears, the things that come up with spirit rather than turning away from them.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Oh, Deidre, thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
So powerful. And we're actually almost at the top of the hour, so I'm going to hold off. We're going to pick up with reading where we are leaving off for next week. Does anybody else have anything, any 2-minute questions or shares before we get to the top of the hour?
Hey, family.
Hi, Carla.
Hey. I was just curious. Of course, I'm getting in. When did we read tonight?
You have the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, if I'm remembering correctly.
Right.
We began on the middle of page 294 and finished up with the Test of Truth, which is, well, we're just beginning that, chapter 14, part 11.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're good. So everybody have a wonderful week. One thing that I just want to mention really quick, actually, before I go, and this is so funny because I just said that I very much feel like I'm in a place of not trying to make things happen, and I still feel that, but I agreed to mention this as much as possible for Tony Ponticello. I am speaking, I think I shared this already, at the Las Vegas Course in Miracles Conference in April 2016. So if anybody is interested, check out the Community Miracle Center. I don't even know if they're open for registration yet, but I think they may have just launched it. So please do check that out if you're interested. I love you all. Have a great week, and we'll resume next week.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you, family.